Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Sam at More Life One. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. And I hate to ruin your holidays, but we got a bowl game we got to play and we don't have any running backs. So let's get to it.
Pull up in motorcades. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers are throwaway. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know them.
So, Florida State plays Arizona State, the Fighting Herm Edwards, on the 31st. And I don't expect for us to win that game. And if I was the coaching staff, I wouldn't go into that game expecting to win that game. That game's going to mean way more to Arizona State than it's going to mean to Florida State, in my opinion. We got no running backs. They'll probably have Trayshawn Ward, I think, would be the guy that'd be playing him and Deontay Sheffield, and maybe a little DJ Matthews. Knowing Kendall Brass, he'll probably throw a hook and ladder on the third play, maybe the first play, too. You know, a little back and shovel passes going on and stuff. That foolery, good thing. I'm glad that's out of town. I forgot to say that Brandon won't be joining us today on this episode. He'll be back on the next episode. Don't worry about it. Praying for him. Brush should be good to go, though, after this one. I want to start with the defense, man. What I am looking forward to seeing on the defense is I want to see more young guys, man, on the defense. Couple guys I would love to see, more Derek McClendon. The linebacker-wise, just no more Leonard Warner this game, man. Let him enjoy the bowl trip, man. Enough Leonard Warner. I want to see Kevon Glenn in the middle. I want to see DeLoach. I want to see Quayshawn Fuller. I would like to see Jarvis Brownlee. I don't know if Travis J can play yet still. Hopefully they've got that situated where we can start seeing him play more. I will actually sit Asante Samuel and let him get healthy. I mean, I know he's pretty healthy, but I would sit him, make sure he's ready for spring ball. Robert Cooper, I probably wouldn't play Robert Cooper. I want to get ready for spring ball. I would basically treat this bowl game like a preseason football game. And I would not play guys that I'm really going to depend on next year. That's my opinion. I would play guys that I'm going to depend on, that I need to know what I got with those guys. On the offensive end, I would do like Florida State did. I think that was 2011 when we played in Notre Dame, where we went full youth movement on the O-line. I would find a way to put Ira Henry, Maurice Smith, Washington. I would even see what Chaz Neal got, to be honest with you, man. I mean, I don't think we got anything with Chaz Neal, but any young guy that showed any type of potential to be a contributor next year on the O-line, they would be playing. Jordan Young would be playing. I can't really think. The tight end-wise, Cam McDonald. I'm concerned about Cam McDonald and McKitty. I don't know if either one of those guys are coming back next year. That'd be interesting. I would definitely do that. I would hate for the fans to get too upset about this bowl game situation, because it's not that serious. You know, things are going pretty well for Florida State, I think, especially watching Miami get trounced like that last night. Good God, man. And, man, watching Miami get beat like that, it just pisses me off more with Harlan Barnett and Kendall Browse and Willie Taggart a little bit. I mean, God, they made Miami look like it was something special when they really wasn't. It's terrible. But anyway, so it's a lot of good things going on for the state. They just hired another analyst today. That'd be great. I think they're going to beef up the analysts a lot, actually. So I actually expect to be hearing about 5 or 6, maybe 7, 8 more names to go with those analyst positions. Norvell done a good job of selling the vision to the boosters, man, and getting those guys to buy in to what Florida State needs to be and what needs to happen at FSU. And that's a positive. That's a huge positive. Next thing we want to talk about when we talk about this bowl game situation is we're not catching Clemson anytime soon. So this ideal of who to root for and what game, it doesn't really matter, man. I mean, Clemson is a monster right now. We're not catching that anytime soon. But what we do need to be trying to do is solidify ourselves as the second best team in this conference. And I actually think next year that's very much possible. It's possible for us to do that. If we get some grad transfers coming in here, and I think we will, and I think Norville has reached out to the right people to make sure the right things happen to secure those grad transfers. I know everybody's getting excited about that quarterback that's going to be a grad transfer. I'm not, honestly. I don't think that guy's any good. If I was Norville, I would definitely grab another quarterback. I would like to go into spring ball with at least three. But Prudy is my guy. I mean, that guy's going to make or break Mike Norville's tenure, in my opinion. Him and Tate is going to make or break his tenure at Florida State. So that's who I will be going into the season with next year, a true freshman. And that's what it's going to have to be. I wouldn't be trying to grab too many more. And we need running backs, man. I mean, he got to get running back. So, but that's a long way of saying the bowl game doesn't mean anything. It's not going to mean anything. People should not be getting excited about the bowl game. I'm not excited about the bowl game. It'd be nice to win the bowl game. I'm just not excited about the bowl game. So before I get to listener questions, I want to make you guys well aware. We did start a little t-shirts and hoodies, man. So if you want one, DM the podcast. We got t-shirts for men and women, and hoodies for men and women. So DM the podcast if you want one. So let's get to the first question out of the mailbag. If Blackman does decide to stay, do you think he'll start, and how well would he do in Norville's offense? Actually, I do think had Norville came here last year or came here right when before Willie Taggart got here, I do think Blackman would have done very well in this offense. And I do still think Blackman can do well in this offense. It's a pro-style offense. And when I say pro-style, I mainly mean, like, if you look at Jeff Braun from Purdue, it's that type of pro-style where it does run a little up-tempo. So I think it will help the offensive line, and I think it will help Blackman out. Do I think Blackman will be the quarterback next year? I just don't believe it, because I do think his confidence is shot, and I don't think he believes that these coaches or will even look out for him. I think he want to go somewhere where he's wanted. And I think between the coaches he's had and the fan base, I don't feel like Blackman feel like he's wanted. I do hope he come back. I think he'd be a nice bridge between with Prudy and Tate. I think it'd be nice, man. I really do. I think Blackman would do well in this offense, if that answers your question. I just don't think he'll be here. All right, next question. Who in the hell is convincing Asante Samuel III that it's a good idea to declare for the NFL draft? Stanford Samuels, in my opinion, is not as bad as people think he is. I think ideally, Samuels is more of a free safety type. He doesn't have long speed, but I think in the NFL, in the right system, he could be a valuable piece, more like a cover three system, which he's supposed to be in a cover three system this year, which was helping him play better. But it's hard to be a good cover three corner when you got bad safety play, which that's why his hands was always up looking at Levante Taylor whenever he got burnt, because Levante Taylor made him look really bad a lot. I don't think Samuels is as bad as everybody thinks he is. I'm gonna just say that. He does play hard sometimes. He does lack physicality at moments, but I think with the right coach and the right coaching, I think he can be a good piece on the NFL franchise. I think he'll go in the fourth round, maybe fifth round. That's my opinion. Another question. Willie lost his job because of a bad hire for a DC. How can an accomplished DB, now DC, keep having DBs blowing coverage? See Miami versus FSU tape. It's cringeworthy. Are FSU fans trolling Miami too early since FSU haven't played their bowl game? No, you can always troll Miami. It's a great idea to troll Miami as much and often as possible. I don't do a lot of trolling. But troll away, man. You can always troll Miami. I don't think Barnett was a bad hire. Nothing about Barnett said bad hire to begin with. I think in hindsight, he's a bad hire. I think it did not work out. I just think that culturally at Florida State, you really have to get these cornerbacks that you recruit out of Florida to buy into being bump and run. I mean, to buy into being cover zone corners, cover two corners, and cover three corners. They don't buy into that in the state of Florida. They all want to play man-to-man, up aggressive defense, which is fine, man, but you can't play man-to-man all the time. And I think that's something that Barnett didn't do a good job of selling his vision to the secondary of what type of cornerback they needed to become and what they needed to be. And I think that goes back to recruits reading their press clipping and saying, oh, you playing out of position. Oh, y'all should be playing more man-to-man. Y'all should be playing more man-to-man. No, man, you need to play whatever the coach teach you to play. And that's just a cultural thing. Willie Taggart and Barnett didn't do a good job of selling the vision of the defense to the defensive players. That's my opinion. Barnett also, in hindsight, was bad, but I find it hard to believe that he's a bad defensive coach when you just look at his pedigree. That's my opinion. He deserved to be fired. He's not good. But on paper, I thought he was the most solid hire that Taggart made this first year, to be honest with you. It don't look that way now, though. Okay, let's go to the next question. Do I think one of the freshman QBs start next year? Yeah, I actually do. I think Prudy comes in the summer, and I think he wins the job. and I think that's going to cause Blackman to transfer. what do I think about the defensive analyst hire from Marshall? I think it's a great hire. He's the safeties coach. Coach with Fuller when he was at Marshall. So it's somebody that Fuller's familiar with, and he'll have somewhat of a rapport with. Which I think would be great because I think Fuller mainly coached linebackers. I know he coached some safeties, but he mainly coached linebackers. So it'll kind of help Fuller be more of a general overseer of the defense and take a lot less pressure, take some pressure off him also. Let's see another question. Who are the most likely gets by February National Signing Day? Oh, man. Brandon's usually the guy for football recruiting. I don't really too much care about football recruiting. I think that guy Gibbs, I think we do have a chance of getting a running back Gibbs. I don't know about Juwan Edwards. I think that's going to depend if Georgia closes on that guy Zach. I do think Georgia would close on that guy Zach. Next question. Wideman. Will Wideman play football? I've been on record saying that if I was Wideman, I wouldn't play football. I would play basketball. I think the money's a little easier and it's quicker. Do I think he ultimately plays football? I do think he plays football. And I do think he played football at Florida State. I just didn't think it was such a slam dunk as a lot of other people thought it was. That's just my opinion. Question. Is Durden coming back a big deal? Yeah, I mean, the bigger bodies you can get and secure, the better it is, in my opinion. I know a lot of people was mad at Durden for what he put on Twitter or whatnot. I mean, that's why I don't follow kids on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? One minute they don't want to play for their third coach, and then the next minute they draft great, don't come back so well, and they find out maybe I need to play for a third coach. I think it's good that Durden's coming back. Maybe you don't have to rely on Cedric Wood as much. Maybe you don't have to rely on Malcolm Ray. Maybe we don't have to see True Thompson on the field next year. So Durden coming back is, to me, in my opinion, is a big deal. That's something to be happy about, you know, applaud it. Marv haven't even announced yet that he's leaving. I do think he should leave, but that's something to watch, right? When did we stop caring about bowl games? I want to say it started with the playoffs, but I really kind of think it started with Nick Saban, and I blame Nick Saban for almost everything in life, even though I'm a big fan of Nick Saban. Nick Saban has won so many national championships. You know, a lot of these football programs and they just feel like it's championships or bust now. You know, I think he's made winning national championships look so easy that I think people just assume that they should all play in national championships. I mean, Clemson is playing a bunch of national championships. And to be honest with you, Clemson, it kind of feels like they came out of basically nowhere, right? They was the team that everybody laughed at and scoffed at. Now they play for national championships every year. And then with the playoffs, you got four teams now. So it used to always be, if you didn't make it to the championship game, you used to be able to be like, well, you know, if they just would have a playoff system, we'd get in the playoff because we're playing our best football right now. But now, I mean, four teams, you know, like Oklahoma could make that argument, you know, back with the old system. But now with this new system, now you're in the playoffs, so we get to find out. And they're going to probably get beat by, you know, 100 points by LSU. I personally don't like the playoffs. I think the best two teams are always identified pretty late in the process, and you pretty much know who they are. And, I mean, like right now, we know it's going to be LSU and Clemson. And I don't really think it's much of a discussion for anybody else. And I think it's been that way since week seven. That's just my opinion. Are coaches fired too fast in college football? Coaches are fired too fast in professional sports and any big money sport too fast now, in my opinion. In college football especially assistant coaches, man. I mean, Dan Enos came from Alabama. Now he's out of there at Miami. You know, this man had what? I don't even know how many months he had. Was it 6 months, 7 months to install an offense? And just like that, he's fired. You know, I think that's kind of crazy, but at the same time, people do it. People do install offenses and are productive pretty damn fast in college football, and they expect for you to do that. I think it's crazy because I think a lot of it has to do with the media. The media, depending on what type of tack they're going to take with that coach or those players, I mean, that dictates, in my opinion, how fast coaches get fired now. I mean, you know, we all praising Mack Brown, you know, for winning, what, 7 games? He was 6-6 in the regular season. And we thought Mack Brown did the greatest coaching job of all time. I let people tell on the timeline. But, I mean, Willie Taggart was 5-7 last year. He had 1 win more than Willie Taggart did. I mean, is it a great turnaround? I mean, I guess. I just think that coaches need time, in my opinion, to put in a system, install a system, create continuity. If you're going to hire a coach and give him a 4-year deal, how can you turn back around and fire that coach in a year one or year two? Like, how does a coach be firmly cemented on the hot seat after year one? I just think that's too fast. That's just my opinion. But in some respects, I get it. I'm paying you $5 million. I'm paying you $1 million to coordinate the offense, $1 million to coordinate the defense. I want it done, and I want it done right the first time. And that's understandable, too, I guess. Let's see. Do we have any more questions for the pod? Let's see. Will Norvell win a national championship at Florida State? I kind of go back to the last question. I think if Norvell is given time, I think he would have us in the Final Four in about, I would say, 5 years, maybe 6 years, if he's given time. I do think he is an organized coach. I think he's going to make good hires. But I do think it's a rude awakening in the ACC for any coach that comes from a Memphis, a USF, even a Pac-12, because the ACC, while it might be, in some people's opinion, the worst conference in college football, if you just look at the coaches down the line in the ACC, it's a lot of good coaches in the ACC. Guys that come from big-time programs. I mean, like even Steve Adazio, he came from Florida, coached on the Urban for a while. Of course, you got Dabo. Think what you want to think about Diaz. I don't think he's a terrible coach. He just looked in over his head at a job that's wants a lot, that don't want to give a lot. Mack Brown, not a bad coach. David Clawson, Bracco Mendenhall. These are pretty good coaches. You just look at ACC down the line. It's pretty good coaches. I think ACC has a bad rap for coaches. So the schedule in the ACC is tough. And what happens in the ACC, you don't get credit for losses the way you get credit for losses in other conferences. Go see the Big Ten and go see the SEC. But do I think he'll win a national championships? I don't know about that. I mean, do I think he'll play in a Final Four? I think by year six, maybe year seven, if we give him time, I do think he could play in a national championship. We're a fickle fan base, though, man. Like, we love Norvell today, but, I mean, if he loses next year to Wake, we're going to put him on a hot seat? I mean, I would hope not. You know, hopefully we learn our lesson that, you know, it takes time and it takes patience and it takes a coach executing the vision. And I think he could do that, though. So I don't have really much more other than that. I don't think we have any more questions for the pod. Yeah, so if you enjoyed it, man, please share the pod. We're on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, of course. If you want some of the T-shirts and the merch, just DM the podcast on Twitter. That's at ListenUp1Podcast. Just hit me up. And we get you some shirts, whatever. It's been a great year, man. It's been great recording. It's been great interacting with people, man. And I think going into the next year, you know, we're setting some pretty lofty goals. But you guys has been there since day one. I mean, huge shout-outs to you guys, man. I appreciate you guys. A lot of you guys DM us a lot, you know, supporting the pod. And be honest with you, man, you know, y'all keep us going and keep us on schedule, man. So, big shout outs to you guys. We here, man, and we appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roar. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Flow Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you spec? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations from these generations. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Balls. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.